I'm going to start with Shari's question from yesterday about the Shehuya Mitzvah Lo Mashinan, when it said that it's a mitzvah to convert the ger, right? We do it as soon as we see that the convert is ready to convert and is willing to do it despite all our protestations. We then say, do it right away. Why? Because it's a sort to let a mitzvah wait around. So there's different explanations given to this. Why? What's the mitzvah? So first of all, the mitzvah is obviously not on the ger. The mitzvah is on us to convert the ger. So some people think it comes from the mitzvah of ahavta et ha-ger. You should love the ger. So therefore, if somebody, they're not a ger yet, but if somebody wants to be a ger, you should love them and embrace them. Some people say it comes from the mitzvah of to love God. If you love God, then anyone who wants to come worship God and believe in God, like sort of Abraham life, right? So you're supposed to embrace them and join them. Let me just see if there was something else I saw here. Some people say that when the Midrash commented on Avraham, that he was punished for not accepting Timna when she wanted to convert, and then she eventually, there was some Midrash about Timna that she wanted to convert, and Avraham wouldn't accept her right away, and then in the end, what happens to her? She marries Esav, and she gives birth to Amalek, and that he was punished for not having accepted her right away, so that maybe we learn it from there. That wouldn't be the reason for the mitzvah, but that would be a source that would show. Okay. Avraham didn't want to accept her conversion right away. Right. And as a result, she ended up marrying Esav, and from her came Amalek, and that was a punishment. Okay. So that's the different opinions about why we should love the gear. Oh, you just missed it. Okay. I'll tell you after class. Your question. Okay. So now we're going to go to the bottom of Mem Zayin Amud Bet. Echad ger, echad eved meshuchrar. Okay, we'll see this issue of accepting the ger as a mitzvah. I think it's referenced also a little bit in today's talk. So now we have this line in the middle of the brayta. What happened? We brought this brayta about what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to tell him all the mitzvah. You're supposed to do this and that, and right, see what he says. And then if he really wants to, so you accept him and you give him a brit milah right away, which is where we got into the mitzvah issue. And then you have to check you have to do a brit milah and make sure you do it perfectly. And then, that there aren't these tzitzin ha-ma'akvin, then matzbilino tomiyad, and the shnei tomidei chachamim stand over him, right, which we then said was shlosha, really, not two, it was three. And then with the women, we said that the women really, right, there's women who go into the mikvah with them, and the men are standing outside, but as she's dunking, the men kind of prod her along and say, we're going to mention some mitzvot to you. And then there's this weird line, and this is what we're going to deal with for a bunch of today. Echa ger v'echad eved meshuchrar, period. Okay? This applies to a ger and an eved meshuchrar. Okay? And then it proceeds to go into umkom shenida tovel et sham ger v'eved meshuchrar tovelim, and it starts talking about what kind of mikveh you need, etc. This phrase is like right in between this whole procedure and right before they start talking about what kind of mikveh we need. So the question is, what does this have to do with? Eved meshuchrar has the same laws of ger for what? Okay, what's it referring to? So the Gemara immediately says, "Kasal kadatach lekabel alav ol mitzvot." It must be that the eved. Okay, remember, I'm just going to remind you again, even though we talked about eved knani. What happens? We're talking about an eved knani. He's not a Jew. You want him to be your slave. Now, this isn't like you hire a housekeeper in your house, right? This is someone who's going to live in your house and be part of your household. Now, we're going to have a discussion today. Okay, before I even get to that. What happens to him? He basically undergoes a somewhat of a conversion process. He does a brit milah, he tovels, and then he becomes your eved knani. At some point, right, if you free him for some reason, now you're not allowed to free an eved knani, by the way, but if you hit him and you knock out his eye, then he automatically gets set free. And there's some certain situations where you can free him. If you are to free him, he basically has to, now at the interim period, while he's still your slave, he's chayiv in all mitzvot, except for mitzvot aseh shezman grama, time-bound mitzvot. And then after, when you free him, if for whatever reason you free him, even though it's aser to do, if you do free him, he now tovels l'shem, being part of the Jewish people, and he's full-fledged Jew. Okay, it's like a convert at that point. So now the question is, this Gemara is going to assume that what does it mean, that the eved meshuchrar, here we're talking now about that final stage, when the eved gets freed and he becomes a Jew, obviously, the assumption is, right, the kabbalah love all mitzvot, that he has to undergo the same process. He basically becomes a convert, right? It's the same thing. Yes or no? What do you think? Does it seem like it's the same thing or not?
It does.
Okay, well, what's the big difference?
He's already been Nimol.
He's already... Okay, first of all, he's already been Nimol. What else has he already been?
Tovel.
He's already been Tovel, okay, but not for the purpose of Giyur.
He's practiced.
Ah, yeah. He's already been keeping mitzvot. So maybe you don't need a whole Kabbalat Om mitzvot process because he's already bitoch mitzvot, whereas a Ger is coming from the outside. Even if he's been practicing mitzvot, he hasn't been doing it for any halachic reason, let's say, right? He's doing it to prepare himself, but he's not doing it for, he's not obligated in mitzvot. So therefore, he's already, not only has he been doing them, let's differentiate him from a Ger who also has been doing mitzvot because they're preparing themselves, but he's been obligated in them. He already has a Kabbalat mitzvot, so to speak. So now we're going to see this big machloket about this. Does he need or doesn't he need? So first, the assumption is that when it says he needs, it means he needs, that Echager, Echad Ab Meshukho goes through the same process, it means that he needs to lekabel of all mitzvot. Uraminhu. But wait, that contradicts, Uraminhu always puts together two sources that are at the same level. Right? We've talked about before, I'll repeat again, that sources from the time of the Mishnah, okay, they're called Braitot, or Mishnayot, or Toseftot, or Midrashei Halacha. All those are from the time of the Tanaim, from like 0 to 200. All those sources are stronger than Amoraitic sources, which come from the year around 200 to 500. Okay, so if you, Uraminhu is basically throwing together, generally, it's two Mishnayot together. Okay, sometimes they use the Shoresh Rameh. Rameh means to throw, like to throw them up against each other. Okay, sometimes they throw psukim up against each other. This pasuk seems to contradict this pasuk, and they'll use the same root of rame. So uraminhu means we're going to say, but wait, if this tanaitic source echager v'echad eved meshuchra means that he needs kabbalat mitzvot, that's going to contradict another source of the same level of another tanaitic source, which says b'med varim amurim that you have to do this whole process. It's also a source about our process of giyur bigir. What do we see? The Braita says we don't need to. And our Braita, now remember, our Braita doesn't say you need to. It just implies. That's what's implicit in what the Braita says. So we're going to have two possible answers, okay? The first answer is going to be that there's a machloket between two Tanaim. If we say two Braitas contradict each other, we don't really have a problem if they contradict, if we know that they're each relying on different opposing sources, okay? That there's two rabbis who disagree on this issue. Then it's simple. We say, okay, that Braita follows that rabbi, that Braita follows that rabbi. That's going to be the first answer. The second answer is going to be, you misunderstood our Braita. And our Braita doesn't mean he has to go through the whole process of conversion and be mekabel ol mitzvot. It means something else. Okay? So those are going to be the two approaches here. So first we're going to deal a little while with the first one. Amar of Shesha lo kasha. Ha Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, ha Rabbanan. These are two different opinions. Okay? One is Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, one is Rabbanan. Ditanya says in the Braita, ubachta et aviyah ve'etima, bamed varim amurim. Okay, now we're going to the Eshet Yifat Torah. I don't know if you all remember this story, but if not, I brought the psukim on the sheet. Okay? Eshet Yifat Torah comes up in Dvarim Pasuk Kafalef, Per Kafalef, Pasuk Yud. It's the beginning of Parashat Ki Tzeitze. Ki Tzeitze l'melchama l'orvecha. You go out to battle, and nitano Hashem lokecha b'yadecha v'shavita v'shivyo. And you take captives. You win the war, you take captives. Uraita b'shivya eshet yifat Torah. You see a beautiful woman. B'chashakta ba v'lakachta l'cha l'isha. And you want to take her for your wife. Be'beita al toch betecha. V'gilcha et rosha v'asta et siporneha. You shave her head and you do something to her nails. I'm going to leave this open because we're going to see the machloket about this today. If you remember, Rashi quotes it there. Maybe you've learned it before. V'hisira et simlat shivya me'aleha. You take off her simla, you know, her shivya clothes, right? Her captivity clothes. She cries for her parents, yerech yamim, which we'll also see what exactly this means. It sounds like a month, right? 30 days, a yerech. After this whole process, then you can be together with her. Okay, fine. We won't even get into that. Already off our topic. So now, this is an Eshet Yifat Torah. She has to undergo a whole process here, which is not like the process of conversion, right? It's a different process. So now we're going to see, what if she decides she wants to convert? As the assumption is that this process she goes through is if she doesn't want to convert. But if she wanted to convert, she could right away be mekabel ol mitzvot, become a Jew, and be your wife. Okay? That's what we're going to see here. B'me dvarim amurim shelo kibla aleha. That's going to be the first opinion, chachamim. This all applies if she wasn't mekabel ol mitzvot. Aval kibla aleha matbila umutar b'miyad. She doesn't need this whole process. That's chachamim's opinion. Okay? Which basically seems to imply what? That if you're going to be that the Eved Mishru, okay, the truth is this doesn't necessarily mean so much about our issue, but we're going to see the other opinion, and then it's going to be clear what Chachamim really hold. But we're going to see the Chachamim really hold that you need a Kabbalat Ol Mitzvot. So either she does Kabbalat Ol Mitzvot, and if she doesn't, then she has to undergo this process, and that's going to be in lieu of Kabbalat Ol Mitzvot. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, Af al pi shelo kibla aleha, even if she doesn't accept Ol Mitzvot, there's another thing we can do to avoid going through this whole process of growing her nails and her hair and shaving and blah, 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 and her crying. We can do something else. Kofa u'matbila l'shem shifchud. B'chozer u'matbila l'shem shichur u'mishachrura. Mutar b'miyad. So what can we do to this woman? We can force her forcibly... We can forcibly tovel her to be a shifcha. Okay, what is this? What's implied in this? If you tovel someone to be a shifcha, they don't need kabbalat ol mitzvot. Do you follow that? So now we have our opinion that shows, before we even understand what the whole thing is, we were trying to show we have two different sources. One says you need kabbalat ol mitzvot when you're going to be the shifcha knanit to become a shifcha, and then you, if you want to get freed from... I didn't actually get to the last point. First, you tovel her the shem shifcha, because we're not talking about the shifcha herself. We're talking about when we free the shifcha. So what can you do? If this woman, this Esha Yifat Torah, you meet in battle, you find her righteous, you take her captive, you like her, you want to marry her. So again, either you go through this whole process where she grows, you shave her hair and her nails and whatever we do with her nails, which we'll get to. And she cries for her parents for a month. Then what can you do? Then you can marry her. Okay? The assumption is she doesn't really want to become a ger. If, according to Tanakh, the Chachamim, she can decide to be a ger right away and avoid the whole process. According to Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, he has a better solution. He says, "What? Let's do this. Let's tovel her. Let's say she doesn't want to be Mekabel Ol Mitzvot. She doesn't say, I want to be a Jew. But you can tovel her to be your Shifcha, Knaanit. Okay? Which anyway you can have. You can take any Knaani woman. You can buy her as a slave here. She's already captive, so you can make her your slave. Forget about the whole moral issue that goes on here. Okay. Just to say, by the way, about the moral issue, the one pasuk I didn't read at the end of that section was that, if you look in your sheet, on your dalet there, the bottom here, Bayayim lo chafatzeva v'shilachta l'nafsha, u'machur lo timkarena b'kesef. You can't sell her. Lo tit amerba. You can't use her. Tachat asher nita, because you've already caused her suffering. So there is a moral lesson to be learned at the end of this story. However, even the stuff that we can do to us seems a little morally difficult. So now, what do you do? Matbila l'shem shifchud. B'chozeru matbila l'shem shichur u'mishachrura. And then you free her. You say, I want you to be my slave. And then 2 minutes later, you say, oh, you know what? I'm going to free you. And you free her. And now, even without the kabbalat ol mitzvot, what happens? She now is a Jew. And what do you see from here? This opinion holds. This is Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. He says, umutar b'miyad. Then you don't have to go through the whole process. So what do we learn from this? That a shifcha knaanit doesn't need, or the same for an eved mishuchrar, an eved mishuchrar doesn't need kabbalat ol mitzvot. So now that's Rav Sheshet's opinion. He says we have one braita that says an eved needs, and one braita that says an eved doesn't need kabbalat mitzvot. So in the end, what do we learn? There's two different opinions. One matches Chachamim, one matches Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. Now we're going to a little bit get into what's the logic, what's the reason that stands behind Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar's opinion that you need Kabbalat Ol Mitzvot and Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar that you don't need. I'm a Rav. My time is Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. We're at the top of Memchen Amud Aleph. Dichtiv, kol eved ish miknat kesef. The pasuk says, any eved ish who's a miknat kesef that you bought. Okay? Why does it say eved ish, the slave of a father?
Maybe it means a male slave.
Right. So Eved Ish sounds like the Eved of an Ish, okay? Meaning, here, you want to pass this down? You can use this. An Eved Ish means the Eved of a man, right? It sounds like not the Eved who belongs to a woman. Right, so that's why they say. First, the bright is going to ask. We're going to see two versions of the drasha on this pasuk. Eved ish below eved isha. What does this mean? This only applies to a slave of a man and not the slave of a woman who owned by a woman. Ela, what do they say? No, it can't possibly mean that. So Ela Eved Isha Tamal Baal Korcho V'Iya Tamal Ben Ish Baal Korcho. What do we learn here? That Eved Ish means we're allowed to forcibly give a brit milah to a slave of a man. As opposed to, okay, here they say Ben Ish. Okay, V'Iya Tamal Ben Ish Baal Korcho. You can't just take a guy off the street and say, I'm forcing you to be a convert or a slave, right? Give him a brit milah. But if he's a slave of a person, then you're allowed to. Okay, again, we have some moral, ethical questions to be asked here, right? Who made someone your slave? But clearly in those days, things were done in a different manner. So here you learn that you're allowed to be mal bal korcho. Now, it's true, I just want to read you this pasuk, so you see the context of the pasuk. The pasuk comes up in Shmot Yubet, and it's in the context of Pesach. Do you remember the Korban Pesach is eaten by anyone who has a brit milah, right? And it can't be eaten by someone who doesn't have a brit milah. So the pasuk that Shmot Yubet Mem Dalet, if you have it on the side of your sheet, it says it there. Bechol eved ish miknat kesef umalta oto az yochal bo. You can give him a brit milah, and then he's allowed to eat, right? Then he can eat the korban. So what do you see here? Eved ish is in the pasuk with you're giving him a brit milah. What does it teach you? You're allowed to be mal, a slave, against his will. You can't be mal, a regular person, against his will. Okay? So from here he learns that you don't need Kabbalat, that you don't need Kabbalat Ol Mitzvot in order to be a slave. Okay? In which case, also, once you free your slave, you also don't need. In other words, who's the person you can be mal, ba, korcho, and convert? The Eved Ish. And he doesn't need the conversion. The Kabbalat Ol Mitzvot. Now we're going to see the Rabbanan. So what about Rabbanan? Where do they learn it from? That you do need Kabbalat Ol Mitzvot if you're a slave. Kishem she'ia tamal ben ish ba'al korcho, kachia tamal eved ish ba'al korcho. He goes more with the ethical approach, which is just like you can't take a regular guy off the street and give him a brit milah forcibly and do a conversion without his willingness, you also can't do it to a slave. So then they say to him, but wait, ve'ala haktiv kol eved ish, but doesn't it say in the pasuk, any eved ish, meaning just the eved ish, this would be, that he would have a different halacha than a regular person? So he says, no, I need that for a different halacha. Ha'hu mi'bay le'lechi de Shmuel, de'amar Shmuel, ha'mapkir avdo yatza l'cheirut ve'ein tzarich get shichur. Okay, you see that his whole approach, by the way, was definitely more siding on our side of the ethical argument. Because what does he say? He views the whole slavery thing a little bit differently. Okay, what does he say? Shmuel says, I hold like Shmuel, and this is what he learns from the Eved Ish. If you're mafkir your Eved, you say, I don't want you anymore to be my slave. Is that enough, or do you also need a shtar shichur? So let's say you say to my slave, I don't want you to be my slave anymore. And then you change your mind, and you say, well, go prove it, right? You don't have a shtar, right? You need a shtar. I just said that. I didn't really mean it. Okay, so what did we say? He says, Shmuel says, you don't need a get shichur. A get is a document. You don't need a document. Why? We learn it from this pasuk. Shneamar kol eved ish mikna kesef. Eved ish velo eved isha. Oh, sorry. This is the question. Eved ish velo eved isha. I said we're going to learn two different ways of learning this. Ela, what does it mean? It can't mean an eved that belongs to a man and not an eved that belongs to a woman. There's no different halacha for that. Ela eved sheyesh lo reshut l'rabo alav karoy eved. V'she'em reshut l'rabo alav ein karoy eved. What do we see here? Eved ish means a slave that his ish has empowerment over him, right? He has rights to him. But once you say, I don't have rights to you anymore, I'm freeing you, you no longer have rights to this slave. So this is more on the ethical, right? Be careful what you say and don't just say things dumb to people when you're playing with their lives, right? You say, oh, you're free, and then you say, oh, you're not free. I didn't really give you a shtar, so it didn't mean anything. He says, no, you can't do that. You can't play with people's lives. If you say, I don't want you to be my slave, he's no longer your slave. And we learned that from Eved Ish. That's what Eved Ish comes to tell you. He's only an Eved Ish when your Ish has Rashut on him. But as soon as he gives up his Rashut, he's not your Eved anymore. He doesn't even need a Shtar Shechu. Okay, so that we had, so just to go back, we had this line in the Mishnah, in the Braita. Echad Ger Echad Eved V'Shukra. The Gemara first said, the assumption from this line, this was in the Braita we saw yesterday, about all the whole process the ger has to go through when he converts with the Kabbalat Ol Mitzvot, and you have to remind him of all the mitzvot, and then it said the same is true for an Eved Meshuchar. Then we said, but wait, there's a Braita that seems to say you don't need Kabbalat Mitzvot for an Eved Meshuchar. So Rav Sheshet said, oh, don't worry, these are two different opinions. They match Chachamim and Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, each has a different opinion, and we just saw the source for each of their opinions. Now comes Rav Papa, and he says, You compare this all to Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar of Chachamim's machloket about what? About an eshet yifat Torah. That's not the same thing. An eshet yifat Torah is a different halacha. She's not a shifcha, right? It's a different story. So what does he say? Matkipla Rav Papa, imur deshama luhu l'rabanan b'yifat Torah, t'lo shayach ha-b'mitzvah. Now this goes back to what Shari said earlier, which is, what's the difference between what's the real reason why an Eved Meshuchrar might not need Kabbalat Ol Mitzvot? Because he's already keeping mitzvot. As soon as he becomes your Eved Knani, he does a Brit Milah, he does a Tefillah. Again, the Tefillah is L'Shem Avdut, not L'Shem Giyur. But he now is a Jew, he has to keep mitzvot like women. He's patur from all mitzvot, Aser, Shazman, Grama, but all other mitzvot he's chayav in them. And then you're talking about taking a person like this who's already been yanim b'mitzvot, and then you're freeing him, and now he's going to tovel to be a Jew. That is very different. B'yifat Torah, Chachamim say, you need Kabbalat all mitzvot. Why? Because delo shaycha b'mitzvot. She had nothing to do with mitzvot before. You're taking someone from zero and you're moving them to 100, right? You can't do that without having some sort of Kabbalat all mitzvot process. Aval eved, d'shayach b'mitzvot, hachanami da'filo rabbanim modu. But Chachamim there who say you need Kabbalat Ol Mitzvot wouldn't necessarily say that in our case you would need Kabbalat Ol Mitzvot. Okay? So now what do they say? How does he prove this? D'tanya, there's a braita he uses to prove it. Echa ger ve'echad lokeach eved min ha'oved kochavim tzarich lekabel. Who does he say needs Kabbalat Ol Mitzvot? He says a ger needs, the braita says. And someone who buys an eved from a non-Jew needs Kabbalat Ol Mitzvot. But what does this seem to imply? Halokach miYisrael, if someone were to take an Eved from a Jew, ain't sarich lekabel, it sounds like, right? He doesn't need lekabel Ol Mitzvot, only if you take him from a non-Jew, meaning if you took a slave from a Jew, he wouldn't need to undergo any process of Kabbalat Mitzvot because he's already been yanim b'mitzvot. So here you would say the same thing to our case. This isn't the same as our case, because our case is take a slave who's already your slave and turn him into a Jew. But the point is that once someone's been yanim b'mitzvot, he doesn't need another Kabbalat Ol Mitzvot. So they say, this braita, Mane, who is it according to? I Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, ha'amar lokech min ovei kochavim, nami ein tzarich lekabel. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar doesn't think any slave needs Kabbalat Ol Mitzvot, even if you take him from a non-Jew. A slave doesn't need Kabbalat Ol Mitzvot. You're basically forcing him, right? It's that difficult ethical position. You bring it upon him, he has no choice in the matter. But therefore, this must be, this is just all proving that the Braita supports his opinion, El alav rabbanan, ushma mina, de lokeach min ovei kochavim, tzarich lekabel. Aval lokeach miYisrael, ein tzarich lekabel. What do you see here? That it must be that this is Chachamim's position. When Chachamim say you need to be mekabel ol mitzvot, is only if you're coming from Ephes. But if you're already a slave, you wouldn't necessarily need. That's what Rav Papa says. In which case, Rav Papa thinks that according to Chachamim here, and according to Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, a slave who is your Eved Knani, who you've now freed, already he's b'inyanim b'mitzvot, and he shouldn't need a conversion process of Kabbalat Ol Mitzvot. So now we're going to say, well, that's very nice that you said this, Rav Papa, and you disagree with Rav Sheshet, saying each opinion matches each one that we said. But now, what are you going to do with, right, this is what the Gemara is going to say, Be'el akashya, echa ger ve'echa deva meshufa. This sentence, Echa Ger, V'Echa Eved Meshuchrar, we translated before as saying, Lekabel, right, Lekabalat Ol Mitzvot, that he needs to accept upon a mitzvot. And that's what that line in the Braita said. Okay, if you remember, the Braita started out with the whole process the Ger goes through. You have to remind him all the mitzvot. And as he's shoveling, you remind him the mitzvot. And right then appears the line, Echa Ger, Echa Eved Meshuchrar, which seems to imply this applies to both, the whole Kabbalat Ol Mitzvot. So they say to Rav Papa, it's great you're knocking down Rav Sheshet's thing. There could be, there's a difference between the Eshet Yifat Torah and the Eved. I'll accept that. But what are you going to do with this line? This line doesn't make any sense according to your explanation. So what do they answer? Hitanya hahi le'inyan tefillah. Ah, it just means that he needs tefillah. That's what it means. It doesn't mean he needs the whole process. He needs to dunk in a mikvah. Okay, he doesn't need Kabbalat Ol Mitzvot for the mikvah, but he needs to dunk in a mikvah. So now, just to review, okay, and it actually matches because the next line in the Braita I read in the beginning of Shir today is, right, after it says that, it says, Ubinkom shenida tovelet sham ger ve'eved meshuchrar tovlim. It starts to talk about the tefillah process. So it makes sense. You could say that this is talking only about the tefillah process. So just to review, we had this source that we learned yesterday, which the Gemara is trying to explain, what does this mean? Does it mean for Kabbalat Ol Mitzvot, or does it mean that it needs tefillah? So we have two opinions, and if you say it means a Kabbalat Ol Mitzvot, How does it work with the other brayta that seems to say Ineva doesn't need? And then we say, it breaks down to this machloket that the Chachamim had with Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar about the Isha Yifat Torah, and it's the same thing. Rav Papa doesn't like the comparison because he says they're not really comparable, and therefore he has to explain that it means they need tefillah and not that they need the whole process. Okay. Now, once we started talking about the Isha Yifat Torah, we're going to go into all the details, and if anyone learned Rashi on that parsha, you've seen a lot of these already. Okay. Tana Rabbanan. Here's a braita. Vigilcha et rosha v'asta et ziporneha. This is the pasuk. Okay, if you want to, we read them in the beginning of class, but if anyone wants to look back, the pesukim are on your sheet. Rabbi Elazar Omer, takutz, what does it mean, va'asta tziporneha? She does her nails, right? What does it mean, she does her nails? So he means, you cut her nails short. Rabbi Akiva Omer, tagdil, you grow her nails. Okay, now where do they each learn this from? Amar Rabbi Elazar, ne'emra asiya berosh, v'ne'emra asiya betzipornayim, ma lahalan ha'avara, avkan ha'avara. What does it say? It says she does her nails, and it says she shaves her head. So they make a comparison. They say just like she's shaving her head, it means to get rid of her hair. Also, her nails must be to get rid of her nails. Now, one of the Parshanim talks about the fact that what's going on here? What's the real machloka between them? He sees this process as a tahara process. So we've seen it with other people. To be mitahir, you cut things, right? It's a process of tihur. So you cut your nails, you cut your hair, right? Like with the nazir, he shaves his head, and the mitzora, right? There's this process of cutting things. So that what she's going through is a tihur process, as opposed to the second opinion we're going to see in a minute, which is really you're going through this process to make her look really ugly. And that's the whole idea, that you want to make her look ugly so that hopefully you're hoping this guy is going to turn his mind off this woman and get over it and move on and let her go. So, which also deals a little bit with the ethical. It's on the one hand, it's a double-edged sword, right? On the one hand, it's a little disgusting to make this woman do all these things. On the other hand, you're really trying to prevent this man from taking advantage of this slave, you know, who knows that she has any interest in being in this relationship, and you're trying to have him set her free. So, here we're going to see the other opinion now. Rabbi Akiva Omer Ne'amar Asiya Barosh V'Ne'amar Asiya B'Tzipornayim. Now we're going to, he's going to make a different comparison to the shaving. Mala halan nivul, to shave a woman's hair, he doesn't look at is shaving the nazir's hair, that's a different story, or the mitzora, that's a man. But when it comes to a woman, to shave her head, that's disgusting. So afkan nivul, it must be, you want to make her look disgusting. Now it's interesting, women nowadays like having long nails. Apparently in those days it was an embarrassment to have long nails, it didn't look nice. So you make her grow out her nails and it looks disgusting. Urayala divrei Rabbi Eliezer, now we're going to see a proof. Okay, Mephibosheth ben Shaul yarad lekrat haMelech lo asar ragla velo asas sfamo. My asiya haAvara. What does it say here? He didn't do his feet and he didn't do his mustache. What does it mean? It means he didn't cut his toenails and he didn't shave his mustache, trim his mustache. So it shows he came looking very disgraceful. But the truth is, it wasn't really the issue of disgrace. It really means he grew. He didn't cut everything. And here it says she's supposed to cut, right? Asiya means to cut. Okay, not that it has anything to do with the nivul of how disgusting you look. The point was he didn't cut. Okay, so that proves the first opinion. Tana Rabbanan. Now we're going to go on in this bright, the psukim about this woman. Ubachta avia ve'et ima. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, avia, avia mamash. Ima, ima mamash. What does it mean? She cries about her parents that she's leaving her family. That's what she's all upset about. Rabbi Akiva Omer, avia ve'ima azo avadat kochavim. Okay, he says, it doesn't mean her mother and father literally. It means her past, her avodah zarah. V'cheinu omer, how does he say? There's a pasuk. Okay, there's a pasuk from Yirmiyahu. Omrim la'etz aviata. Okay, and ula'even atiladitanu. Okay, where they talk about the avodah zarah as if it's their mother and father. Yerach yamim. What's this, the yerach yamim? Yerach shloshim yom. Tanakama says shloshim yom. That's how we paskin. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar omer tishim yom. How do we get to Tishim Yom? Yerech is Shloshim. That's how you write a whole month of the Areach. Shloshim Yamim. Yamim. It says Yerech Yamim. Yerech, the word Yerech is Shloshim. Yamim means add another 30. V'achar Kein, and only then can you marry her. That's another Shloshim. Okay, so it means 90 days. By the way, even if you're allowed to marry this woman after 30 days from what the Torah says, we all know, we've learned this many times, that he has to wait the 90 days because what if she's pregnant from someone else? Okay, that was also good. We've been learning about any woman has to wait 30 days to marry a woman, 90 days. So this would be, in any case, she'd have to wait the 90 days. But after the process that she does, let's say you do the process 2 months later, then she wouldn't need to wait a full 90 days. Matkifla Ravina. Ravina asks the question, wait, Ema, if you're going to say that Yerach is Shloshim Yom, Yerach is Shloshim, Yamim Shloshim, Ba'achar Kain should be Kihane, should be another 60. Because it's saying, and after all that, meaning double what you did before. Not another 30, but it should be another 60. And the Gemara says, Kashu, you're right, it does seem like that would be the case, so you're raising a good question. Okay, now we're going to get to another question. Until now, we've talked about that slaves need to do Brit Milah, right? You take an Eved Kanani into your house, he has to do Brit Milah. Now we're going to see a big machloket. What if the slave doesn't do a Brit Milah? Okay? What if he doesn't want to? And he doesn't want to go through this process? And here we get to the ethical, right? You can't necessarily force him to do it. What do you do? Can you have a slave like this in your house or can't you? Okay? Is there a type of Eved Kanani that could be your slave without doing Brit Milah and the conversion process? Tana Rabbanan. Mikaimin avadim she'enam malim divrei Rabbi Yishmael. He says, no problem. You can have these slaves in your house. Rabbi Akiva Omer, ein mikaimim. You can't keep them in your house. Okay, so now, some people say that Rabbi Akiva's opinion is really midoraita. And why does he see it? Because, where did he learn it from? Right, because you look in Tosfot. Tosfot says, "Em Mekaimin," at the end of Tosfot there, he says, "L'fisha tziva kadosh baruch hu la'Avraham lamul avadav." They learn it from Avraham. Because Avraham said, you have to, Hashem said to Avraham, you have to give a brit milah to all your avadim, when he got the whole commandment for brit milah. Because of that, we learn that all your avadim have to have brit milah, so he really has a source in the Torah, and some people say it's actually midoraita. So now Rabbi Yishmael, in retort, has to say, well, I have my own pasuk, right? Why do I think it's okay? Amar le Rabbi Yishmael, harehu omer, b'yinafesh ben amatecha. Okay, so now to do this, we have to look at the pasukim. Okay, so first we're going to look in the Dvarim Perakeh, which is a very familiar parasha to everybody, from the Aseret Hadibro. Okay? Sheshek yamim tavo v'asita komalatecha, v'yom ha'shvi shabbat l'shem elokecha, lo taseh komalacha, ata uvincha ubitecha, v'avdecha. Here we go. Okay, avdecha v'amatcha. Your slave. Okay, what kind of slave are we talking about here? This must be an Eved Kanani who's done a Brit Milah, who's in your house, right? Because the slave here is commanded not to do malach. Okay. Then it says, v'shorcha v'chamorcha v'cho b'emtecha. And later on the top, we're going to get to this other issue, which is gercha asher b'sharecha. What does it mean, the ger also? What do you mean? Obviously, the ger has to keep Shabbat, right? So it's a little strange. We're going to see what this means. The next pasuk we're going to look at, which is what the Gemara is going to compare it to, is Shmo Perek Gimel. Okay, when it talks about Shemitah. B'sheish shanim tizra tzaracha v'asavta tfuata v'ashmi'it tishmetenu. Okay, we'll skip to the end of that pasuk till you bet. Talks about the Shemitah cycle, 6 years and then the seventh year. Sheshik yamim ta'aseh ma'asecha. Now it says 6 days you should work. U'bayom ha'shvi'it tishbot. You should stop working. Why? Leman yanuach shorcha v'chomorcha v'yinafesh ben amatcha v'hagir. So that your slave, right, the son of your ama, okay, which really means your slave, and the gir will get to rest. Now, why is this mentioned if it's already mentioned that the eved and the gir don't do malacha? We're going to now ask about who's this eved and gir that's referred to in Dvarim Kaf Gimel. In Shmo Kaf Gimel, it must be a different kind of gir. So, Amri Leila Rabbi Yishmael, Harehu Omer v'yinafesh ben amatecha. And that must be, right? That must be a different slave. So what slave must this be? This must be the first pasuk we read today, which is really the second because it's from Dvarim. But that pasuk which talks about your son and your daughter and your Eved, that's obviously your Eved as part of your household. But here when it just mentions your animals and your slave and your ger, right? Look at what category they're in. And not with your children. This must be that you, there's other slaves that need to not work on Shabbat. And who's that? That must be the Eved who didn't do a Brit Milah. What do you see here? That there's Avadim who didn't do a Brit Milah that live in your house. Okay, now, this Pasuk, if you notice, is a little bit different. The Pasuk in Shemot is referring to these people can't work for you. In other words, they can't do things for you. You can't get benefit from your slave working for you on Shabbat, which is a little different than your slave himself can't work. Right, because if someone doesn't have a brit milah, they're not chayav in mitzvot. So it doesn't mean they can't work at all, but they can't do work that relates to you. And that's the way he sees this pasuk. So Amar Leh, so now what's Rabbi Akiva going to say to this? He says, this is, you're right, this is a ger who hasn't had a conversion. But why hasn't he converted? B'lokech eved ben hashmasho, b'lo ispik l'molo ha-katub medaber. Okay, what does he say, right? He says, you're right that this is an Eved without a Brit Milah, but it was just because you haven't yet given him a Brit Milah. So until he has his Brit Milah, you bought him right before Shabbat, and you didn't have a chance to go through the process. Obviously, though, you can keep him for Shabbat, but you can't keep him any more than that without dealing with it, okay? And therefore, this was a case where someone was an Eved for a very short period of time, right? It was just a very temporary thing till you dealt with it. So now they're just going to explain, okay, what we already know, which is, Dekule alma miha, everyone agrees that b'yinafesh ben amatecha be'eved arel k'tiv. Okay, everybody assumes that this is about an Eved Arel. So now how do they know that this is an Eved Arel? My mashma, and here we're going to learn what I already showed you, but I kind of preface it so you know where the Gemara was going. Titania, it says in a Braita, V'yinapesh ben amatecha, okay, so this pasuk they quote in the Braita, and then they say, Be'eved Arel ha-katub medaber, this pasuk is talking about an Arel. So then they say, Ata omer be'eved Arel, o'enu ela be'eved mahul. Who knows? Maybe it's really talking about someone who did have a brit milah. So now they say, "Kishuhu omer leman yanuach avdecha v'amatcha kamocha." When it says the pasuk that I already showed you in Dvarim that your slave should stop working, "Hare eved mahul amor." That clearly is talking about an eved who's part of your household. Ha mani mekayem v'nafesh ben amatecha. That must be then be'eved arel. V'hagir. What about the ger? It says eved ben amatecha v'hagir. So who's the ger now? The Brayta is going to talk about this. Ze ger toshav. You know what a ger toshav is? A ger toshav, when we are supposed to conquer the land, we're not supposed to allow any people to stay in the land with us. Okay, unless they become a ger toshav, which is that they somewhat keep basic mitzvot. Okay, what those are is a big question. But they're considered a ger toshav. They live among you, and they do a little bit of stuff with you, and that's what it means. The ger referred to in that pasuk with the Eved Arel, right, it goes in the same category. He's not really a Jew. But he keeps the mitzvot, and that's what we're talking about. So now they say, again, they're going to question this. Atah omer ze ger toshav o'enu ela ger tzedek. Maybe it's a regular ger, like a real ger, who converted fully. So they say, no. Kishahu omer v'gercha asher b'sharecha, hare ger tzedek amur, right? The ger tzedek is already mentioned in Barim Parakeh. That's when it says the ger tzedek, the real ger. Ha mani mekayem v'hager ze ger toshav. So it must be a ger toshav. Okay, now we're going to learn what Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says, and then we're going to try to connect this to the viewpoints of Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yishmael. So just to remind you, Rabbi Yishmael says, you can keep this guy in your house if he doesn't have a brit milah. Rabbi Akiva says, you can't keep him in your house. Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, halokech eved min ovei kochavim, velo ratza lamul. What if he doesn't want to do a brit milah? Migalgel imo ad yud bechodesh. Okay, you give him 12 months to decide. Maybe he'll want to, maybe he won't. Lo mal choser mecholov de kochavim. Okay, if he's still unwilling after 12 months, you give him like a year to kind of get used to things, see what it's like to live in the house, and you give him that, and if not, then you sell him. Amarua Rabbanan kameja Rav Papa. So Rabbanan brought this halacha in front of Rav Papa and said, Kiman, deloka Rabbi Akiva, he can't pass, right? They want to know, who does Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi hold like? Yeshua ben Levi's an MOA. Who does he hold like when he says this? Did he hold like Rabbi Akiva's opinion, or did he hold Rabbi Yishmael? If you say held like Rabbi Akiva, di Rabbi Akiva, ha amar ein mekayimi. Right? Rabbi Akiva says you can't keep a ger like this in your house. So amar lehu Rav Papa, no, I can still explain Rabbi Akiva. How would you explain it? Afilu tema Rabbi Akiva, hani mila hecha de lo paska lemilta. Aval hecha de paska lemilta paska. Okay, now there's two different explanations about what this means, paska lemilta. Either it means, it's talking about the ger himself. If the ger wasn't definitive, he said, listen, I don't really want to do brit milah, but maybe I'll change my mind. So then, what can we say? Rabbi Akiva would say, in this case, if there's hope that he will convert over the long term, then we'll give him a 12-month waiting period. Okay, and that's what lo paska lemilta means, like you're not definitive. So one is saying that it's the ger who's not definitive. Okay, and therefore we give him those 12 months. Even Rabbi Akiva says, you can't keep this kind of ger in your house. You're allowed to for an interim period. Some people say, no, it means that the Adon wasn't conclusive about his opinion. If the guy says, I give you 6 months, then you can give him 6 months. Okay? Or the Adon says, I'll give you 12 months, I'll give you 12 months. If the Adon didn't give any sort of a time frame, then he can't stay in your house. And if the Adon did give you a time frame, then as soon as that day passes, he's out of your house. Okay? So it could be one or the other. Amar Rav Kahana, Amarita Lishmata Kameja Rav Zviv Min Haradea. I brought now this explanation that maybe you could read Rabbi Akiva, this agreeing with Rabbi Akiva. Amar li ihachi ki amar le Rabbi Akiva bilokech eved ben hashmashot lishnei laha. Now they say a good answer, which is, Didn't we just say the Inafesh Ben Amatecha, what possible case could Rabbi Akiva have been talking about? Because how could you have an Eved Arel? And we said, oh, it's a case where you bought him Ben Ashmashon and he just didn't have a chance to convert. So why didn't you just say very simply, it was a case, if really Rabbi Akiva agrees with this, like we're trying to, this is all just reading into Rabbi Akiva. We don't really know what he says. So they try to say like this, well, if Rabbi Akiva really meant that, then he would have answered that question by saying, oh, I'll give you a good case where there's an Eved Arel. It's when he has this interim time period where he's allowed to, you know, where the guy wasn't conclusive that I definitely don't want to convert, or the Adon. Okay, so now, so the answer, no, Chagam Mitrei Tame Kamar. He just brought one possible example. When he answered up that question, he brought one out of two possible answers. And then he brought that one. He could have brought this one also. So you can't ask that as a question. Now we're going to have another case. Shalach Rabbi Mishmeidu Rabbi Eli. Rabbi asked, sent in the name of Rabbi Eli, the Chol Rabotai Amruli Mishmo. And he says, not only that, but everybody told me that this is in the name of Rabbi Eli. Sometimes when people say that, it's because not everybody agreed and he wanted to stress it. Ezehu Eved Arel Shemutar Lekaimo, Zeshe Lekacho Rabo Amanat Shelo Lemolo. What's an Eved Arel that you can keep? That's a case of that the rabbi took him, already preconditioned, you're going to be an Eved Kanani who's not going to have a Brit Milah. Okay, in other words, yes, it's true every Eved's supposed to, but if you take someone from Merosh and you say you're going to be this type of Eved, you're allowed to have that as long as it's specified Merosh. Yeah.
Why would you do that?
Because the guy doesn't want it. So you want to buy this Eved. Maybe you want to, and you have a Masal Matan, he said, but I don't want to do the, I don't want to get a Brit Milah. I don't want to be part of mitzvot. So you say, fine, right? What could be going on here is also societal, that it could be that ideally they really wanted to have this Eved Kanani, but they were getting into problems. People didn't want to be sold into slavery, to be a Jew and to get a Brit Milah and do this whole process. Right? So, even if they were selling themselves.
Are you allowed to, though? Can you allow to buy a slave if they want to be...
So that's what we're saying here. According to this opinion, according to Rabbi Eli, they say in the name of Rabbi Eli, that you're allowed to do it. You're allowed to make, if you precondition it from the beginning that this is what it's going to be, you're allowed to do it.
That's it goes against Rabbi Akiva.
Ah, so that's what we're going to say. Does it or doesn't it? Let's see. So the assumption at first is going to be this goes against Rabbi Akiva, okay? So again, Amarua Rabbanan Kameja Rav Papa. Kiman Deloka Rav Papa, right? They say to him, this must be against Rabbi Akiva. Sorry, Deloka Rabbi Akiva. Di Rabbi Akiva, ha Amar Em Mekaimin. So Amar Lehu Rav Papa. Rav Papa says to him, no. Afilu Tema Rabbi Akiva, ha Nemile Hecha Deloatne Bahadeh. Rabbi Akiva says you can't keep this kind of slave. That's in a regular case where you didn't make any preconditions. The assumption is a regular Eved Kanani has to be part of you. But even Rabbi Akiva, according to our Papa, would agree that you can have this kind of slave if you made the precondition. Okay, it's very interesting if you think about it, right? Rabbi Akiva's living maybe five generations, I would say approximately, before Rav Papa. So think five generations have passed and things are obviously different. And first of all, Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yishmael were living in Israel. Okay? Rav Papa is living in Babel. The situation is very different with the non-Jews and the people around. It probably was very difficult to get a slave in those days, in Chutz La'aretz and trying to find a slave who will agree to become a Jew. So basically, it could be that Rav Papa is having a very loose, open definition of Rabbi Akiva for this reason. Okay, so now Amar Rav Kahana. Again, we're going to have the same thing. Amarita l'shmata kamei Rav Zvi min haharei. I brought this in front of Rav Zvi. Amarle ihachi kika Amarle Rabbi Akiva belokeach eved ben ashmasho velo espik lemolo lishnei laha. Right, you should have brought this case as one of the cases. Right, when Rabbi Akiva said, "Why didn't it?" Right, what case are you talking about? He could have just brought this example. So I say velitamech lishnei laha belachad mitrei v'tzlat tamei kamar. In other words, again, it was one of three options he brought. Now we have three options where Rabbi Akiva could have a possible Eved Arel. You bought a Ben Ashmashot, he didn't have a chance to convert yet, or you gave him time, right? He hadn't decided conclusively, or, right, according to one explanation anyway, or you made a precondition to it.
That seems like a dangerous approach to halakha. Can't you say that about anything?
You could say it's a dangerous approach to halakha, but it's an approach that goes on all the time, and that's why halakha is flexible, because it allows for changes in situations to affect the way you reinterpret things.
You could say flexible, or you could say inconsistent.
You could say inconsistent, but if you say inconsistent, then you're going to end up with a very inflexible system. So, right? In other words, it's like any system of law. It's open to interpretation. People take Piskei Din in all sorts of countries and they reinterpret them. Oh, this is what they meant, or this is what... That's the way the system works. As long as you can reinterpret the source some way, then you can support what you want to say. It's both the difficulty, but the beauty, I think, of the system. You can do that. Okay, let's try to go on a little bit further. Yativ Rabbi Chanina bar Pape v'Rabbi Ami v'Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha, Akila d'Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha. They were sitting on the merpeset of Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha. V'yativ v'ka'amrei, irachat hayta be'eretz Yisrael, v'lo ratzu avadeha lamul. There was a whole city where nobody, none of the avadim wanted to do a brit milah. V'l'gugalui mahem ad shnei masar chodesh, v'chazru machrum lo'avdei kochavim. Okay, so the situation happened, and they sold them back after 12 months. Kiman. Ki haitana detanya, it goes like the Tana who says, halokech eved min ove kochavim, v'lo ratza lamul, magalgel imo ad shnei masar chodesh. Lomal chazro machro lo'avdei kochavim. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, though, disagrees there. Okay, there's a machloket here between Tanakam and Shimon ben Elazar, who we saw earlier today in the other case. Omer ein mashinoto be'eretz Yisrael mipnei hafsed tarod. Here's a really interesting source I wanted to bring up, and I really find the next thing we're going to read is very relevant to things going on this week. You can't leave him in Eretz Yisrael. Why? Because he's not makpid on tum and tara, right? Like, he's not a Jew, and he's going to mess up all our taharot. Now here's the next one. Ubeir hasmucha lasfar. If it's a border community, okay, it's living on the border with the neighbors, ein mashinoto kolikar, you can't leave him at all if this guy doesn't want to convert. Shema yishma davar v'yelech v'yomar l'chaviro. What's the concern? That maybe he'll go be malshin aleinu. Okay, what's the concern here? And why is this relevant to this week? Anyone who is not part of our community is suspect that they might be up to wrongdoing, and they'll go tell secrets to the neighboring countries. So I thought about this very much so, and we'll end with this today, about things that are going on with, Arabs and all sorts of things about people saying, oh, all Arabs, are suspect, and now because of these situations going on, we have to basically, take the, I saw some headline in one city, they got rid of all the Arab workers in the Ghanim. My daughter last year was in
did.
A...
They sent out an email, did you get it? Mm-hmm. They changed the gardeners.
The gardeners. Interesting. So my daughter was in a gown last year where there was a speech therapist on staff, and there was an Arab speech therapist. And I started thinking to myself, what, are they going to kick her out of the gown because she's Arab? It's a very difficult question. How do you view it? So here you see that the source said, we don't trust anyone who's not part of us because maybe they'll, at least according to one opinion, right? This is one guy's opinion. He said, don't trust them because of what may happen. But obviously there's a flip side, and obviously nobody knows the right answer to this question. But it's something to think about, and it's in the daf today. So Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom.